morning, everyone. Very welcome to our service of worship here this morning. Give a special welcome to our speaker, Mr. Alan Martin. You're very welcome back at such short notice. Thank you for coming. Just a few announcements to highlight. Next Sunday, God willing, the 20th of February, will be our Mission Sunday. And to that end, Timothy Tai from the Barnabas Foundation will be the main speaker. The Barnabas Fund is one of the charities which we as a church support annually. So please come along to hear about the important work they do. And then just want to read out about the action of the committee. In accordance with the code of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, the congregational committee is appointed to serve for a certain number of years, and the Kirk Session has decided that the time has come to hold an election. To that end, the Kirk Session has prepared a list of those who are qualified to vote on the election, and also those who are eligible to be voted for, which is now displayed in the church vestry. Following no objections about the inclusion or omission of names on or from the list, the election can now take place. Voting papers will be handed out as you leave the church this morning. Please return them by Sunday, the 27th of February. And then finally, could I just give a word of thanks for all those who purchased the book Family Favourites Cookbook, and also those who kindly gave donations to the chosen charities of Open Doors, SASRA, and Action MS. Hand over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. And it's good to be here today. Thank you for these warm words of welcome from our deputy minister. Because he's still in place. And our first minister, I know where he was last week, but I'll tell you about that a little later. But Edwin is still in place. I want to assure you and give you encouragement that he's at the vacancy this morning, which is good. So he'll be back in place, all being well, next week. But it's good to be here, and it's good to fellowship with yourselves again. Yes, got the phone call during the week there to come down. It's a joy to come down to Tyrone. I get to see my mother-in-law, which is a good thing. Not going there for lunch, but my eldest son, Harry, stayed last night because Grace was down over the weekend, so we'll be able to go down there at 4 o'clock and bring them home. We're going to Costadale Coleraine for 2 days now, me and the boys, so they'll be the only two of wee life jackets for them, wee orange life jackets. They will be the only two orange men in the Atlantic Ocean this coming days, so keep an eye for that. But it's good to be here. We're here to praise our God together. We're here as a family, as the covenant family of God. Here's what God tells us to encourage us, and tells us who God is. We may be concerned and worried about our own wee land. I reckon your election of committee will go better, maybe, than the election in May time. But God knows all things. God is sovereign, and we as Christians must always remember it is under his sovereign control. Here's what it says in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's begin our praise this morning with a lovely piece of worship that's entitled Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's stand, I think, and sing together. Let us all join our hearts together just now. Still ourselves from the busy week ahead. Always looking forward to the future when Christ will return. But until then, it's important for us to talk to our God. We're going to do that now. Let us all pray. Father, we humbly come before you today, the all-sufficient, the all-powerful, and loving God. Oh, the one who loves us so much, the God who sent his Son Jesus to die for our sin in order for us to be forgiven. Yes, we come today and we confess our sin and turn away from the things that we have said and done that have brought heartache and pain to you and our neighbor. We acknowledge without love. Our work as your church is lifeless. Let us continue in your power to share your love with all around us. Help us to love you and all who we meet with each day, continuing to give you all the honor, glory, and praise to you and you alone. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you've got your Bible with you, we're going to turn together to the book of Acts in chapter 8. If you've got a pew Bible there, it's probably the same as mine, page 1101. 1101, Acts chapter 8. We're reading there at verse 26 through to 40. Familiar to you all, it's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Acts in chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to each one of our hearts this morning. Now, boys and girls, and all of us that are young at heart, because we're all young at heart, if you noticed, I don't know if you remember, I'm holding up my other glasses. I'm 50 in June. Now, you want to note this, because everywhere I go, I talk about being 50, so we're expectant of a cake, or a wee bon, or a wee party, whatever Edwin and the session can muster. But I've got my reading glasses. Thank goodness for the economy minister, I'm not really sure, Mr. Lyons, for these because my £100 voucher and my wife's £100 voucher bought these. Thank you, Gordon. For all of you that haven't got yours yet, I'll have a word with them. But boys and girls, young people at heart, I was reading a passage of Scripture, and it's good. And here's the verse I want us to focus on now. Acts 8, verse 30. And here's how it runs. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Philip ran up to this chariot. I didn't bring mine today. Mine's a little 2.8 Peugeot, and I need to upgrade it to what Edwin's driving, but that's by the way. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? That's what Philip said to this guy that was on the chariot. I don't know about you, but I love running. I can run. I got up to 23 miles. 26 is a marathon stage, but we got up to 23 anyway. Last summer, during lockdown, everybody either bought a dog or they went running and walking. Saw four guys coming out of Ocker there this morning and they were running. They weren't running to this church. I don't know where they were going to, but they didn't come in here because they'll be wearing their luminous and fluorescent jackets. But running is good. It's good for the mind. It's good for the body. It's good for the spirit. Now, boys and girls and young people at heart, if I was going running, what would I need? Based on the fact it's wet on the roads, it's dark at nights, you know, it's a tough time to run. I'm still haven't run since Christmas. I'm still working off all that food I ate, but we intend to start running and do the Lisburn 10K. I used to do that, but now I don't do that. Edwin used to do that, but he doesn't do that either. But I maybe ask him to run it with me. That's a good idea. You could sponsor him. But if I was going out running, what would I need? Now put your hands up, and you're all young at heart. What would I need if I was going running? I've got a few items with me that we might need if we were going running. Shout out. Shoes. Running shoes. Good skills. Now, I put mine in a nice plastic bag because I didn't want, a bass back, don't I? Don't want the dirt. These here. And I guarantee it, these have run round the moors and everything. These have done miles. And they're wore out. They wouldn't pass an MOT, these shoes of mine. Because they're all worn. They're all worn. I need a new pair. I have bought a new pair. Because when they wear away, it's not good. It's good to run with good shoes. But you need them well broken in. Those are my running shoes. Yes, they are my running shoes. Now, okay. We're on. We're up and running. But you better wear a little bit more than those. Now, go ahead. What do we wear? What would we need next? Now, work from the bottoms up. Because that's a good thing. Well, don't just run bare feet like Zola Budd. Do you remember Zola Budd? Some of you aren't going to admit to that. So what do we need? Socks, yes, and these are specially. You think these were Emma's socks, she's five, but they're not. They're nice wee short socks. But believe runners now are wearing them nearly up to their knees, and socks, but these may be running socks. You see those wee running socks, they're cool, and they're special. They're special because they're meant to let your feet breathe and all this. Oh, I'm into the technology here when it comes to running. Right, now, just got the socks, we're doing well. What's next? Shout out. What do you say? Shorts, cool. Got these shorts. These are cool. These are cool. Right, these are just not any shorts. They have a wee interior thing. And the idea of that is so when you get larger in size, your legs rub together. So this stops that. So this is your running shorts. But you wouldn't wear them. If I went out tomorrow running those there, you'd get a founder. It would have brought with me. Now, these are not Grace's. These are my running. Well, I don't want to use the word tights. What would you call it? Leggings. That's a better word. Leggings. These are my leggings. You see them? Can you imagine me in those? Edwin's probably got a pair, hasn't he? Over the years, he's probably had a pair. But there you are. Those are my leggings. That keeps you warm. Keep a bit warm. Keep your legs warm. Keep yourself warm. You got a founder. So you got this. Now, what else? Where are we at now? Right, we're up to this bit now. T-shirt. Look, I've got my DOE or Department of Rural Development T-shirt or whatever it is. Why do I wear that one? Why do you think I wear that? To see McCommon, all right, and to let them see it's dangerous. See Lisburn, you get run over flat as a pancake. You want to wear that so people see you. Is that right? That's my luminous one. Okay. Ginger hair does shine out, but this is it. So we're doing really well here. Who's going to run this 10K with me? No one's going to admit to this. Okay. Now, it's also cold, so wear this. This is, you call them Helly Hansen's. I'm not advertising. There's other products out there, but I think this is my Helly Hansen. It's my Helly Hansen. So you wear that underneath there. You can wear that. I used to wear that for years. This is a new one, but I used to wear one like this for years to keep me warm underneath other gear I was wearing. So you wear that. With all the gear. It's a pity I can't run so well. So what else? All the gear. And maybe you wear your hat and your gloves. All the gear. And it's important to have all the gear. All the gear. I look the part, except for the little tummy. But I look the part. Now. What also is important, you need to train well. You need to train. No point just turning up and running the 10K because you'd be in bed for a week, wouldn't you? You have to train. You have to work at it. You have to train. And then also, you've got to remember, for a 10K or a half marathon, it's not a sprint. If you rock it off, you'll run out of puff and everyone will pass you. You'll be wrecked. It's a long journey, isn't it? You have to pace yourself. Pace yourself is important. Very like a Christian life, isn't it? About pacing ourselves. It requires endurance and stamina. Sometimes it's good to run with somebody. That's a good thing. But otherwise, you maybe have to pop a few pills. That sounds bad, doesn't it? I have brought my... look at these ones. You'd think these were for a car, wouldn't you? The size of those. Look at those. You know what they are? They're my fast-acting glucose chews. Oh, they're rockets. Oh, rockets. See, you take one of those. If I had took one of those this morning, I'd be more hyper than what I normally am. You are. Look, see the big pills? So you pop one of those, the beginning of the race, and you're flying, and it's good. And so we've got that. What's one of the most important things that you're meant to drink 2 litres a day? Water. Got my water, all right? You drink this, and this is your water. This is good. This keeps us going. And you need your water. And of course, in marathons and things, there's water stops. But what you don't do, my sister-in-law is a doctor. Two of them are doctors. And I always have these sitting about. Look, I see it orange. Full of beans, that. And she says, at my Emma, the five-year-old, I went this morning to look for this. She's got a wee cupboard. And you should see what's in that cupboard, the stash. I left it on the table. And it was gone. I says to her, where's my Lucasade, Emma? Don't know, Daddy. See, before I went, she says, Daddy, something for you. Lucasade orange. She's not meant to drink that. But that's good. Quick boost. At the end of a race, you maybe take that. You need all the gear. And there's other products out there as well, of course. This is the stuff you don't know. I'm exhausted thinking about this, Ron. I don't know about you. I'm exhausted, but this stuff here. Does anyone know what that is? You need to be good. That's a wee container, and there's a wee like a liquid in it. You see gel? Good skills. Do you run? Oh, good man. You're silly admitting that to me. Okay, so this is the gel. So you take this, and maybe a couple of those. If you're doing your 23-mile, you maybe put 3 of those into you. It just gives you energy and boosts its long life. All the gear. It's important. And do you know what? You can have all the gear, but it doesn't mean you can run. Not right? Doesn't mean you can run. If you remember back what I was saying, I hinted it there. One of the most important things is to run with someone. Isn't that great? Run with someone. As a Christian, who do we run with? Not right. Isn't that simple? Yes, we'll have a partner in life. It's God give us. Maybe we don't have a partner in life. But with Jesus, don't we? We run with God. We run with Jesus. He goes out looking at us when we're in our sinful condition. He goes looking and he's watching us and he's seeing us as we were born and as we grew up. And at a particular time, a minute and second, and an eternity past, when we call out to him and say sorry for our sin, we invite him into our life and he comes in. And by his Spirit, he runs with us. God God thought this up, it's the gift of salvation. That happened to me when I was 20 years old. I went to church like yourselves and Sunday school, everything was there. I was good living, but I wasn't saved. It was only when I repented of my sin and trusted in Jesus, he came. And I've been running with him ever since. 50, you know, this year. 30 years I'm running with him now. And he's took me round many a corner, and you're the same young person. You're maybe doing and thinking about your GCSEs and your A-levels. You maybe have just passed that AQE, or maybe not passed it. You're wondering what school to go to. Don't worry about it. God has it all worked out and mapped out because you're trusting in him. That's the important thing. For me, when I was training for my marathon, the most important thing was running with Trevor. And Trevor there ran the 23 miles with me, but he couldn't run anymore. If you're listening to me for 23 miles, you wouldn't. And I chat. I'll drive you nuts. And I ran with Trevor. And Trevor and I are going to stay. He picked up an injury. But we're going to run again. I think we're training for the 13 and a half marathon or the 10K. So we'll get out and about with Trevor. And that was important for me to run with Trevor, my brother in Christ. And we talked about God and the things of God. And we met people on our travels and we shared Jesus with them. That's what we're meant to do as Christians. That's what a Christian is like. They're like a long distance runner. And we run the race with Jesus. We don't know when the final end is, when that is. But we're aiming at it because we know it's heaven, don't we? But he guides us through his word because we need God's word to read and to study and to apply to our lives. We need to pray. I need a lot of prayer to get up and run again for next June, don't I? And we're in a team together. We can't do it by ourselves. We're in a team. We need people to pray. Need people to teach us the word like Edwin does faithfully every Sunday. We need people to organize like our clerk of session and our committee. We need people to do the things. We need people to teach the Sunday school. God is pleased to use us as we run the race of life. Will you do that or have you not started? Boys and girls, young person, an older person, maybe you're not saved yet. Get started and run that race. Because it's a beautiful and lovely race, and it's full of joy running with Jesus. Let's have our children's hymn just now. Thank you. We'll just have a prayer of intercession just now. Let us all pray. Father, as we enter into our prayer of intercession, we are aware of your sovereignty in our lives and on the world stage. Behold, you are the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the sustainer and protector of life, the Holy One of Israel, the shepherd of the flock. We petition you today for the needs of our country. We think today upon our land. We ask you for stability and a sense of peace when there seems to be disruption and turmoil. As we enter into this winter season, we ask for strong leadership from our government and continuing peace in our province. But we do thank you for the hope that we have as we move out of lockdown. Continue to show us the way forward to meet the needs of our congregation and our community. We ask you for opportunity for faithful witness to your Son, the Lord Jesus, over these winter months and in the days to come. We pray for our church family here in this place. We thank you for Edwin and his dear wife and the family as they continue to minister in this place. We thank you for the encouragement they receive from our session. Yes, our current committee and the new committee that will be elected and all the members. Father, we think of the world stage. We just pray that Russia does not invade Ukraine. That is our prayer. War and turmoil, heartache and pain and suffering and death. We just pray that that does not happen. Of course, we remember those that are struggling with life in our own congregation. We ask you for strength for them to endure, to help them as they press on and be faithful to the finish. Be with all who are sick, those who mourn for loved ones lost, and bring all that peace that only you can bring and all that understanding that you can give. We turn our hearts to you. We turn our eyes upon Jesus. We look full in his wonderful face, where the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get to this milestone in life, 50 years old, some of you are there, some of you don't know what that is like. There's a wee man in our mission hall and a wee lady, and they're all wee men and wee ladies down in Belfast. And Jean and Billy are in their 90s, and they're powerful. He's out driving about, not safe, of course, to be in his car, but he's out driving about. And they're great, and great encouragement, and they're steeped in the faith for 70, 80 years. And that is powerful. I remember back to when I started in the city mission there in 2005. I remember sitting in a house in East Belfast with a mum and a young family. The oldest boy, Rhys, who was 5 or 6 years old, he came with Jack. I always remember those two. Oh, they were hard work. They could hang you out to dry. But God loved them. And we were there to witness to them and do some childcare for the family for an hour or two each Tuesday night. But I remember the mum coming to me and saying, AJ, I wonder, could you baptize our little girl? And I says, I don't do that. I haven't done the 10 years at Union College and the assistantship and all that sort of stuff. I don't do that. But what I do is, I maybe do a wee service of thanksgiving for that wee girl. So we did that. 100 people turned up for that. A lot of members of the local organizations, and it wasn't the BB. But what an opportunity it was to share the gospel with that wee family. I can still walk into East Belfast and meet up with that wee family, and they're all growing up now. What a privilege that is to be called to witness to people like that. People like you and me, sinners like you and me. But it was in that house, and the mommy said to me, "Oh, it's great, that wee club's great. Rhys loves it." And see the way you're telling that story about Jonah. I talk about Jonah every time I'm out and about. See that story about Jonah? Isn't it wonderful that that man got eaten up by a big whale? Isn't that a funny name for a fish, you say, Jonah? I says, that's not what you call the fish. Jonah is not called the fish. I don't know what we were teaching them, what the wee fellow was telling them at home, but I put her right by that and explained the story, an opportunity to tell her the right way of the story, how a person was called by God. And he says, no, I can't go to Nineveh. I can't go there. He made excuses, got swallowed up by the big fish. 3 days in the fish's tummy, that a very smelly place to be for 3 days. And then he spat out, the fish was sick, and spat him out onto the land at Nineveh. And God relented of the punishment that he was going to give to that place, and the gospel spread. And that was a wonderful thing. God entered into that country, and we know that's modern-day Iraq. There's Christians there today because Jonah did go and fulfill the Great Commission to go and share the gospel with those around him. I explained that story, but I came out of that house thinking, good grief, there's a generation in 2005 doesn't know the Bible. There in our mission district, there's 4 generations in our mission district now, and they're not knowing the Bible. They don't have Bibles in their homes. So we try to give them Bibles, but we're teaching the children, and we pray that children go back and share the message with the parents. So it is, we must continue to be dependent on God. Dependent on God guiding us to the people that we need to talk to. We can't stop and talk to everyone, although I do, and sometimes I don't get back late tonight, and Grace is wondering where I'm at. I'm coming along the motorway there. Coming along the motorway, and I noticed this car. He was in the slow lane, I was in the faster lane, keeping within the speed limits, and I looked. It's my boss, Willie Logan. Willie spoke here, and he's going along in his wee Volkswagen, and going along, I'm waving away at him. I see everything going on. I'm waving away at him, trying to concentrate on the road, of course. And he's looking like, I say, who is that? I pulled in, not just directly in front of him. You're doing 70, it takes a lot of distance to get stopped. So pulled in, and I says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to speak in Lurgan, he says. And I says, that's handy. I have to go way down to Tyrone to give me the longer distance. But he was actually going to speak in one of the churches down in, further down into Fermanagh after that, this afternoon. Very busy, but I was chatting to him. I says, there's a divine appointment. Well, I'll talk about that. So I stopped with him. Imagine driving past him. What if something happened to him or something happened to me? Wasn't it good to talk to him and say, look, well, we're praying for you and pray for him as he goes down into Fermanagh, does a service there, and comes back to Belfast and goes and takes a service tonight in Roughcool. All need prayed for. All need encouraged. It's a good job I didn't stop too long. That's the clerk of session. I'm very concerned. All right? Good to meet people, the divine appointments. Because we have to always remember, people are dropping into a lost eternity, hell itself, without Christ. We've been reading our passage in Acts chapter 8. We meet a man called Philip, and he's engaging with an Ethiopian eunuch. He meets a black man. He meets him and has conversation with him. And the conversation is around Scripture. Well, he's not talking about the weather. Not talking about politics, not talking about the summer holidays. He's meeting around Scripture and he's focusing on Jesus. That's where he wants to get the man in conversation to Jesus. He's certainly gifted in doing that because he's called Philip the Evangelist. Is that conversation? Don't know how long it goes on for. But because God was working in the life of this Ethiopian before that, the Spirit of God was moving, and soon this man would come to repentance, be baptized, be saved. But isn't that what our mission is about? You're having Mission Sunday next Sunday. You're talking about the persecuted church. It's not hard. It's not easy to go out to foreign lands to speak to people who are not Christians. You get tied up, you get lynched, you get killed for the faith. Is it not easier for us to talk about Jesus in our own land when we're freedom to do that? There's nothing stopping us. Or is the devil saying, listen, can't bring that subject up because people get offended? As one friend of mine says, if you want to be offended, you'll be offended. That's what mission is about. Having conversation around Scripture, telling them of Jesus and seeing the person converted. That's very simple. That's what mission is about. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So here we have Philip. He obediently left his ministry in which he'd been involved in Samaria. And we notice in Acts 8 and verse 5, he had been proclaiming Christ. So he's proclaimed Christ in one place, and all of a sudden he was going somewhere else to proclaim Christ. It wasn't that he was being lazy or needing a wee change. He was busy. He was busy proclaiming Christ where he was at. But God was calling him somewhere else, because God knew there was a person that he needed to speak to. He was sharing the good news of the gospel. He was sharing God's love with someone else. He was called to a desert place, a place that was barren and desolate. And there's many places in our wee country that are barren and desolate. And there's no gospel witness. Yes, they say a missionary is someone that you send out from our church and you send them to a foreign land. But do you know what? This land, this little country we live in, is barren and desolate. And we need to be about sending missionaries, sending people out into our locality. There's a mission field on our doorstep. There's homes that there's no Christian influence. But Philip went where God sent him. He answered the call. And we could call it divine direction. That's what Peter Williams in his book on Acts talks about. He followed God's leading. Each one of us does that, don't we, as the shepherd leads the flock. But we struggle with this at times. Being led and guided by God, that's a hard thing, isn't it? And discerning God's guidance is difficult. But are we prepared to be led by God? Are we available to wherever God takes us? Verse 27, so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Now this is a man I would want to meet. It's like the treasurer of your church. He has plenty of money in the bank. That's someone I'd like to meet. He started out and he met an Ethiopian eunuch. He was in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Very important man. He's a man in government. Man in government, and he's still in place in our own country, and he holds the purse strings because it comes across from another part of the UK. But God made sure that Philip went to speak to an important official. Doesn't matter who you are, God speaks to us. And just think, if our land had Christians that were walking with God and journeying with God and being a witness for God in the hierarchy of our society and the government, just think how our world and how our little country would be so different. That's what we need to pray for, to be a powerful witness in our own wee government. But he met this foreign national. He met a man that had a different color of skin. God guided him to this man. Think of our schools. Think of the different nations of the world, how people have arrived on our doorstep. God's so good. We were born here, most of us. This is the best wee country in the world to be. We're never stuck. We're never in need. But God has brought all these people from all parts of the world to our country. And maybe you know one. My eldest boy, Harry, came to faith a couple of years ago. His best mate is a wee boy called Tobias from Poland. Pray for Tobias. Tobias is a little Roman Catholic boy. Calls himself a Christian. But Harry says he's not a Christian. He doesn't trust in Jesus. That's what a Christian is. Because Harry's trusting, not being a member of the Presbyterian Church or baptizing the Presbyterian Church, because he's trusting in Jesus. So his best mate, wee boy from Poland, I can't wait go on the holidays in the summertime because the grandparents are still in Poland. Nice place to go. But Harry's main goal as a Christian boy of 12 years old in second year is to pray that little man Tobias into the kingdom. Isn't that enough to be going on with as a young Christian? I think of South Belfast, where my friend Willie Cowan and Stanley Kyle work of Our World Ministries. They work together there and they teach people to speak English. They help people get their televisions, get their legality into the country. But they share the good news, and many have come to faith. Last Sunday evening, we were down, and I was back at home, and I met some of his congregation over Skype or one of the media outlets. It was dead handy. You can do it from your own bedroom or from your own office. And I saw his congregation. They don't meet because probably the COVID thing, and also it's just people now aren't used to coming to church or a mission hall, but they'll come to where there's activities, when there's food and there's activity going on where it can be useful to them. So it's a different way of doing mission. But I had the opportunity to meet these people over the screen, and I was talking about Philip Evangelist, and there was a guy on that screen, and he was from Somalia. And if you look at the world map, Somalia is beside Ethiopia. And I thought that was amazing. I am not Philip the Evangelist, but I got opportunity to speak to a guy from Somalia online last Sunday night. We've got to seize our opportunities, don't we? You see, Christianity was brought into the power and structures of another government. Ethiopia was open to the gospel, and this was the beginning of witness to the ends of the earth. Remember our great commission, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God guided Philip to go and jump onto that chariot. There's no health and safety rules there. He just went, and he jumped on. And the Ethiopian was reading the scripture, and here's what he was reading, and this is the crucial thing and the crux of the matter. This is about Jesus, and this is how our conversation needs to be. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he is deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? Philip jumped onto a chariot. He explained the meaning of the passage. That's why it's good for us to do Bible study. Edwin comes each week and he teaches us. And then we go and we apply that. And then we go and teach others. We need to pray for the next PCI ministers that are maybe still at primary school. Let's pray for that. Philip explains the meaning of the passage. And where we see Jesus as the suffering servant king. We see his voluntary submission to a violent death on the cross. The victim, our loving Savior, the one who is unjustly accused, he did not open his mouth. Alex Mateer comments in his book on Isaiah, he does nothing and says nothing, but lets everything happen to him. Oh, what humility. Derek Timbal comments, here was a human being in full possession of his faculties, who knew what the outcome was going to be, yet who permitted others to victimize him and hound him to death. Oh, that's our Savior, isn't it? Jesus was deprived of justice, and he endured a violent and an awful death. For who? For you and for me. For this Ethiopian eunuch. We see in verse 35, Philip beginning with that very passage of Scripture, penciled by Isaiah the prophet. We read then that he told him the good news about Jesus. And that's what our mission is about. Getting to the focal point. Getting to the conversation to Jesus. Sharing and explaining God's word. Telling and sharing the good news that Jesus died on the cross for sin. Oh, his life was taken. His body was broken. Blood was shed for our sin. But look, hallelujah. The eunuch was converted that day. He came to faith on that day. He accepted the Holy Scripture as true and trusted in Christ. That's what salvation is. It is knowing the person of Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice. And we trust in him and him alone for salvation. You see, faith mustn't be just reduced to a mere acceptance of facts. It is trust in a person who is revealed by those facts. It's all about Jesus. We see in verses 36 to 38, we see Philip baptizing the new convert. And what a testimony. Isn't that lovely? And look at him now. He went away rejoicing. Joy in the Lord. Sometimes there's a lack of that. What's the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Joy in the Lord. What an expression of Christ's love in a person's life. Joy flows out. It flows out. It's overflowing. it cascades like a waterfall. You see, the joy that we have in our lives, it cannot be measured. It cannot be contained. It overflows. Is that your experience today? Philip then was called away by God to another place. He continued preaching the gospel. It's an ongoing work, and we're all involved in it for God's glory. Finish with a story. I meet a lot of ministers on my travels, but I met a minister that stepped down 2 days before. I met him last week in a little restaurant in Lisburn. He stepped down from his ministry. Call him Paul. I know Paul many a year. He's been a Christian for many a year. He was a Sunday school teacher in his church. He had to step down from that. I joked with him he should come over to me as Presbyterian and join with us. His wife's a Presbyterian. He's a Baptist at heart. But I invited him over. I met him. I was going in. I went home from a wee COVID pass because this little restaurant had a served drink, but this was the middle of the day. I was drinking my Diet Coke, honest. And I come in, and who's sitting there? Paul. I says, Paul, how are you? He knows me a long time. He knows my wit and my humor. I says, Paul, you've more time in your hands today because you've been stood down. First Minister. Paul Given. I says, Paul, you more time in your hands. He says, don't you start, AJ. I says, you need to get things going, up and running. He says, out of my hands. I says, Paul, must say this, haven't saw you in a while. You did a good job. And I said that to him because he speaks quite well. And I just said to him, Paul, praying for you. Pray that you're witnessing away wherever you're at. When you're meeting your colleagues, you're sharing the gospel. He says, AJ, yes. I was having opportunities, divine appointments. I said, that's good. Now, let's pray things get up and run. He's 10 years younger than me. So I just said to him, listen, we're there to encourage one another and pray for one another. He says, I know. He says, I didn't want to leave, but this is the way it was. Pray for my kids, as we girls of the age of my Harry. I just say, listen, we need Christians to be up and active and mixing everywhere in our land. You pray for that. God raises up Christians to do that. Divine appointment. I says, do you want a picture of me and you and my other friend? He says, no, social media would have a field day. I wouldn't be a member of his party. But don't we pray for divine appointments? You pray for that this week, won't you? If you'll meet someone in your travels. And you talk to your mom and dad if they're not converted. Your grandparents, they're not converted. You talk to them and share the gospel. Be bold and very courageous. And the Spirit of God will lead you to do that. I wonder, will you do that? There's a mission field on our doorstep. And we must pray and we allow God to lead us in His power. We meet people one at a time. And we share the gospel. We explain the scriptures. But ultimately, it is God who convicts of sin. Because He's mighty to save. Let's finish with our final hymn just now. Fight the good fight. Let's stand together. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.